Come on, somebody, just worship God. Just lift up your hands, just lift up your voice and worship Him. Worship Him. He has overcome. And forever we praise you, God. Worship Him. Worship God. I'm so excited because I'm a living example of what God is doing. The manifestation of His power. And I remember that day when the ground began to shake. The enemy was trembling because the power, the King of Kings, has stepped down. Will you sing that chorus with me? The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect law could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sin? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Come on, sing it with all confidence. Forever He's been glorified. And you glorify in this place today, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray, stay with us. And I pray you circumcise our hearts this morning, God, to hear you. May the power of the Holy Spirit fill this room right now. God, that the enemy will not steal even an iota of your word. And the purpose for which you ordained this word, God, will be realized today. God, I thank you because you are here. Glorify yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin this morning by reading a little note that I got from my daughter when she came to church this morning. And for those of you who do not know, I lost my father last night. And he was a very young man. He was not sick. He went for a wedding and came back from the wedding and just started vomiting. And they took him to the hospital. Before they got to the hospital, he died. So I got that news. I got that news at 10 p.m. And I've been awake all night. Being the first child, I have all the responsibility to tell them what to do and what not to do. And the most painful thing is that I'm not going to be there. But my daughter Elizabeth came to church this morning and gave me this note. She tried to scrabble it. And she said, "Dad, I am so, so sorry. Your dad is dead. But God is with you and your dad." And she drew a little picture of me and my dad and put a little heart in between us. Last month, he told me that he was graduating from a a Bible college, which was a kind of an evangelist training school. And today he's no more. I had to preach, and I have to preach. And I plead with you to stay with me. So thank my friend Pastor Timothy for coming to be with me during this time. I'm not going to preach about death this morning, but it's very important to me. When God created my father, he created him from dust, and he was nothing until God breathed into him. God breathed the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in him. That doesn't mean that God does not care about the body, that God does not care about the dust, that God does not care about the flesh. He does. Each time I look at all of you seated here, I see people with different colors, see people with different shapes of the body. I see people black and white. I don't know if they are brown people. I don't know if they are yellow people. But I know that God created people differently. And he created all of us in his image and in his likeness. You know, one thing I love about myself is that I was created a brown guy. Amen. I was created a brown guy, and I'm so proud to be called a black guy. I'm so proud to be called brown. I'm so proud to carry the body of Jesus Christ. I'm so proud to be created in the image of God. Each time I look at you, I honor God in you because I'm so happy that I see Christ. I see the image of God living in you. And so we carry this temple. We carry this body all over the place. And this is the expression I hear in America, that we are free. I have the freedom. I have the freedom to do whatever I want to do with my body. I have the freedom to say whatever I want to say. I have the freedom to go wherever I want to go. I want to ask you this morning if we truly are free. What matters is not the color of your skin. What matters is what you do with God's body. Amen? That is what matters the most. What matters is not what you are called, like a black or a white or a brown or a whatever color. What matters is what do you do with God's body. When I was a sinner, I was free. That is when I was free. When I became a child of God, I am no longer free. I am trapped in the will of God. I am bound to live within the parameters, within the principles of God's law. And that is why this body is not mine. This body belongs to somebody. And the question I have for you this morning is, what do you do with this body? As a child of God, you're not free. But there's a little window for you. You are free to make your choices. Amen? That's the only little window you have. You are free to make your choices. And those choices, they come with a lot of consequences. So this morning, I want us to stay in one verse. And that verse is in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. So that's the verse I'm going to preach there. And please stay with me. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Why? Because this is your true and proper worship. I beg you, Now, from chapter 1 of Romans right through chapters 11, there is one thing in the mind of Paul that you think that chapter 11 is the climax, especially when he's talking about the restoration of Israel and his heart cry for Israel, that they should be saved. And he goes on to say, all Israel will be saved. And that doesn't mean that there is no confession of sin. That doesn't mean that it's a geographical something. It means that they need to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then they can be saved. And so all along, he is presenting a people who do not deserve anything good from God. He is presenting us as people who do not deserve anything. People that sin is reigning in us. People that sin is ruling in us. But he projects one thing. The grace of God. The mercies of God. That even though we do not deserve this, God is showing us his mercy by saving us. So the grace of God is in the mind of Paul. And he doesn't want to get out of that. And so his transition, he is saying, therefore, because of the mercies of God, because of the grace of God, because of the abundant love of God towards me, a sinner, because of these things that God is doing or has done, because of this, he says, I therefore beg you. I urge you, I plead with you. I am on my knees. And I think Paul was really saying, I am on my knees begging you that in view of God's mercies, do something. And that's the thing we are going to look this morning. We have no freedom. The body we carry belongs to God. It's not your body. Can I hear an amen to that? It's not your body. So, we're going to talk a little bit about some odd things this morning. I want to give you some few facts to let you know, let's establish the foundation that body you carry is not your body and you did not decide to be created. White, female, male, tall, short, fact, you did not decide. You did not ask God to create you to be who you are. He decided to create you. And because he created you and you did not take part in that decision, and because sin came into the world, something happened that God fought because of love. He redeemed us back to himself. And that is why the body we carry is not ours. It belongs to him. So let's see fact number one. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And it says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. Okay, don't get confused yet. It says, all other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against his own body. All right? So what is the pronoun there? His own body. So it says, whoever sins sexually sins against his own body. So when you sin sexually, you sin against your body, right? Okay? And so who does your body belong to? To the Lord. So is this your body? Okay? So I want us to establish that fact that even though it says he will sin sexually, sins against his own body, that doesn't mean that it is your body. Paul is writing to believers with the understanding that they have come to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, and they understand that this body belongs to Jesus Christ. So each time you sin sexually, you are actually sinning against the body of Jesus Christ, the body that he has given to you, because it belongs to him. So fact number two. It's still in that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So can you underline that last part in your Bible? You are not your own. So each time you carry your two legs, Each time you want to go commit immorality, each time you want to commit evil abomination in this body, think about this. It is not your body. It says you are not your own. Why? Verse 20. Because you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So how many times do we see the word body in that verse? About three, four times. It says you were bought. So because of sin that entered the world, I was a slave. I was so free that I was swimming in sin. And there was nobody to point out to me that you are sinning. But because of the mercies of God, because of the love of God, because of the grace of God, he came to the slave market and he bought me with his blood. He purchased me. You have been purchased. And you're no longer a slave to sin, but you are a slave to righteousness. And Jesus is saying, because I bought you, you belong to me. And he said, you are not your own. You were bought. Therefore, because you were bought, I want you to honor God with your bodies. It is your body, good and fine. But if you are a Christian, it's no longer your body. Fact number 3. Philippians chapter 1 verse 20. It says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body. Hallelujah. That Christ will be exalted in my body. And he goes further to say, whether by life or by death. Whether by life or by death. Are you with me? Please stay awake. Whether by life or by death. So another fact is that this body is not yours. God has given you this body and he is living in this body. And he wants you to glorify him with your body. He wants you to glorify him. In every circumstance, in all situations, glorify God with your body. And so Paul is establishing this fact, and we all have to agree that what I carry, this black guy, by the way, don't be ashamed to call me black guy. Hello? Okay? I don't get offended. I didn't choose to be this color. You didn't choose to be that color either. Amen? Thank you. So, Paul is saying that we have to honor God. We have to present our bodies as living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. And Paul is begging on us to present. And the presentation is an active way of doing it. So we need to live every day with that awareness that this body is not mine. So whether I'm going to the office, I'm going to school, I'm a police officer, I'm a doctor, my body at all times is supposed to be pointing people to Jesus Christ. If at any point I divert from that focus, then I'm claiming that this is my body. And Paul is saying we need to be actively, consciously presenting our bodies to Jesus Christ. Presenting our bodies, not to friends, not to people on the streets. It's a presenting your body as a living sacrifice to God. Well, it is true that sometimes when I put on my nice suit, my wife looks at me and she admires it. And sometimes we conclude that we dress because we want our spouse to be happy. Okay. And so the whole idea about motive comes to play. What is your motive? What is your motive for putting on tattoos? What is your motive for putting on shorts? What is your motive for putting on a nice suit and a nice tie? I was looking in the church today, and I've not seen any single one person with a tie. And I deliberately don't put on my tie today. And I was actually thinking about putting on a skinny jeans. And my goal was to see how would that lead you to worship God. How would my dressing, how would me piercing my ears and putting on big earrings or whatever, how is that pointing people to Jesus Christ? Because worship is not just when we do songs or sing songs. Worship, God is calling on us this morning, that is all about the totality of me. It is spiritual, yes, but sometimes it's physical. What motivates you to do what you do? And so the living sacrifice, the kind of sacrifice he wants us to present, is it has three characteristics. We are still in verse 1. It says it is living. Okay, let's go there. He said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's grace, in view of God's love and what God has done, to offer your bodies as a living. Okay? Just put a full stop there for a moment. As a living, they are dead sacrifices. Now, God is trying to make a distinction from the kind of sacrifice that was offered in the Old Testament from the sacrifice he wants us to offer today. The sacrifice that was offered in the Old Testament, each time they get into the temple to offer a sacrifice, they always kill the animal. And they take the dead animal to God and present to God as a sacrifice. But when Jesus came, he became a dead living sacrifice. Amen? Dead living sacrifice. And Jesus died once and for all. And he said, as from today, as from now hence, no more dead sacrifices, because I have offered the last dead sacrifice. I have died for you. And he is calling on us that because the Holy Ghost lives within us, we are supposed to be a living sacrifice to God. So the kind of sacrifice he is calling on us to present is, number one, it's supposed to be living, not dead. Point number two, it has to be holy. You know, in the Old Testament, each time you get an animal to present as a sacrifice, they always make sure it's without blemish. Have you read that? And when you bring your sacrifice, they always check it to make sure there are no spots. There are no wrinkles. And each time there is a spot, each time there's a blemish, they would declare it unacceptable and that it's not holy. And the kind of sacrifice we are called to present today is supposed to be a holy sacrifice. Again, the idea of what is my motive is going to shape the kind of sacrifice you present to God. And he said, our sacrifice must be holy. It must be pure. And the third characteristic, it says, it must be acceptable to God. Not just living, not just holy, but it has to be acceptable. So the acceptability of it is an emphasis on the fact that God expects us to present holiness, to come before him holy. Philomena was to go, she is to go for her baby's surgery in Portland, Oregon. And we had a privilege of booking a flight with the Angel Flight, which was somehow comfortable, a private flight, and that she was going to sit in there just with the pilot and the baby, and maybe any person that would accompany them. And last week I got a call from the pilot to finalize the plans. And this guy kept using the F word. This guy kept using some bomb words. This guy kept using some words that were crazy. I'm like, okay, that is a red flag to me. Each time I hear somebody start using the F word, I know what is inside. Don't tell me that it's just the word coming out. And if you are sitting here today that you are so good and so quick at using the F word and the whatever word, something is wrong within. I know I'm not going to get an amen to that one. Something is wrong within. Because if your sacrifice is supposed to be acceptable, is supposed to be holy, is supposed to be pointing people to Jesus Christ, you need to live with that consciousness that this is not my body. And whatever comes out of my mouth is either going to point people to the devil or to point people to Jesus Christ. And so when I hear people use the F word, I say something is definitely wrong. And I told this pilot, hey buddy, thank you so much for signing up. But no, thank you. And I declined letting Philomena fly with somebody who is cursing. It is not acceptable. And Jesus is saying that this body is not our body, and that somebody lives in us, the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost lives in me, I am supposed to allow him circumcise my heart, circumcise my tongue. I'm supposed to allow him filter the kind of words that I send out there. And I want you to think about it. I know sometimes in our job sites, we get so mad when people hurt us. And we work sometimes with crazy people in the world. So, at that moment, it's your body, it's your language, it's your reaction pointing those people to Jesus Christ as an act of worship, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, or your words, you will follow them and curse as well. And give them all the reasons to believe that there is no difference between a Christian and somebody who is not a Christian. Because we give people the reason every blessed day. They curse us, we curse them at our job site. Whew. How holy. How acceptable. How living are our words. And Paul is calling on us that we need to every day present this body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, because it is your act of worship. In Matthew chapter 5, it said, let your darkness so shine. Let your light so shine. It didn't say, let your darkness so shine. Let your light so shine so that your colleague, your family members, people around you who do not know Jesus will see and glorify God, not glorify you. Because when they see the light in you, what they are saying is, wow, I can see that something is different in Pastor Rick. I can see that Jesus is increased. I can see something that is shining as light coming out of him, because I'm cursing him and he's trying to steal off me. You know, but the sad thing is that even in the church, people get mad. Hello? People get mad over nothing. I mean nothing compared to the amount of love poured out on us. We've had some issues about decency in the church. You ask me why I dress the way I dress? I don't dress so that Christopher should see me. I don't dress so that Gina should see me. I don't dress so that somebody should see me. I dress because I feel that I am in the presence of my Father. And the church, hear it today, the church, the house of God, is the only place that I'm going to put my expensive suit to. Not a birthday party. Not a party to go and drink and get drunk. I dress the way I dress because I go to worship my Father. And I don't judge anybody the way you dress. But my question is your dressing pointing people to Jesus Christ? You may say, that is me. I'm okay with my dressing. And don't judge me. Yeah, nobody is judging you. But I want to ask you a question. Is your dressing okay? Deep within you. Is it okay? I had this conversation with my worship team on Wednesday, and it was a great one. Oh, boy. So it was the first time I've seen that Miss Wendy actually had a loving tattoo on her leg. Sorry, Miss Wendy. And that was the first time. And then the question is, oh, boy. What is your motive, lady? And Miss Darcy gave me a good explanation. She said, this one was before Christ. And another one was out of rebellion. Great. I'm not saying don't put on your tattoos. I am asking you, how is that pointing people to Jesus Christ? How does the food you eat, McDonald's, how does that take care of this body? Because we just think we're not just talking about what we wear and what we say. We are talking about how much we take care of this body, knowing that it belongs to God. It is not my body. And so you are a steward. And the food you eat, God created everything for food. But how is that taking care of this body? Another flip side of the coin is that many people have dishonored God with their bodies. And they have blamed God for creating them the way they are, for making them look the way they look. That is from the devil. Amen? That is from the devil. And I want you to accept your body, to accept the image of God in you, the body God has given you, whether you are fat, whether you are tall, whether you are thin, whether you are short, accept it and use it to glorify God. And let people see that Jesus lives in you, and that what matters is not the skin, it's not the size, but what matters is how that big size, that tiny size, that tall and short size is pointing people to Jesus Christ. That should be our goal. What we eat, the words we speak every day, are we still one? Are we still one? So far, so good. Glorify God with your body. You know, something that I'm still struggling with in America, I call it a cultural shock. Still struggling with, after 5 years in America, I'm still struggling with the dressing of ladies. Is it affecting our church? Is it affecting the society? Is it affecting? It is definitely affecting. When I go out there and see people dress right here, you know what? I drive like this. Because I'm not a super giant. And when we think that that is not okay out there, why is it okay in the church? I told somebody that the church of God, not just in America, has ceased to be the light. The church is supposed to be leading the people of the world. But you know what? What I hear today is that it is the norm. It is okay in the society. The law has accepted it. So the church is now copying what the worldly people are doing. Pastor Ted, I wish you were here. Because in Cameroon, I pull you in my office and you say, go home and get dressed and come back to church. Because I have an account to give to God. How is my body worshiping God? How is my body pointing people to God? There is one thing in conclusion today, one thing from Isaiah 53 that I love so much, and I want us to read that. Isaiah 53, 1 to 3. Jesus, the guy who could own all the best suits and all the nice buildings and ties and the cars, the Bible says nothing in him could even make us look to him and see him attractive. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Can you underscore that word? He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance, in his body, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. This was a man of sorrow. It says he was despised and rejected by mankind, including you and me. And I'm afraid we are still doing that today. It says a man of suffering and familiar with pain. I love this guy. Like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. But you know what? It is that body, that same body, that paid the price for you and me. And the reason I'm here is because Jesus knew in Gethsemane that nails would pierce his hands. That nails would get into his feet. That he would be crucified. He would be abandoned on the cross. And he would cry out to the Father. And the Father said, the flesh, the body is tormented. The blood must be shed. For Cornerstone, for the church in this valley, for the church in America. Jesus knew in Gethsemane what was ahead of him. And he accepted to let that body be tormented for your sins and for my sins. Are you ready to glorify God with your body? I heard Pastor Dan this morning explaining something of some prepositions that were had. And I want to ask you, are you going to glorify God in and with your body? In and with your body. How does what you put on, what you say, how you work, what you decide to hear, and where you decide your eyes to go to, how does that point people to Jesus Christ? As an act of worship. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31. He says, so whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. As we go to God in prayer, I want you to ask yourself, what do I breathe out? How do I live? Is Christ glorified in this body? Am I pointing people to Jesus with my body, with the way I dress, with what I eat, what I say? Am I glorifying God? Am I blaming God for my body? In my country, I don't know about America. I've not known ladies so much that I know much about them. But in my country, people spend hundreds of dollars to wear makeup. Buy makeup, wear it because they want to blame God and say, you didn't fix me well. So I want to help you fix myself. This is hard. We are just in verse 1. And he's saying, present your body as a living sacrifice. Verse 2, he is going to be more explicit and more specific. How you're going to do that? By the renewing of your mind. That will be for another day. Let's go to God in prayer. Do you want to rededicate that temple to God this morning? I will invite you to just come forward here. Nobody's going to pray for you. Just come forward here and do that dedication between you and God. Before we get to sing that song, just ask questions to yourself. You are the judge to yourself. How is my body a living sacrifice? How am I glorifying God with my body? How am I pointing people to Jesus with what I do, what I say, what I eat, what I wear? How am I doing that? And if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of just one thing, I will encourage you not to stay there. Just come to God. Is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? It is only through this dedication, and I promise you, brethren, it is only through this dedication that you will find freedom from cursing. Oh, glory. That you will be set free. It is only through this dedication that you will receive power from the Holy Spirit that will enable you to say, I'm not going to curse. That I'm going to live every day pointing people to Jesus Christ through what I say, through what I hear, through what I see, through what I eat, through what I wear, through what I do with this body. And He is here today. He's here today to bring glory to Himself. He's so concerned about your spiritual act of worship, but at the same time, He's so concerned about this body, the image of Him in you. Just talk to Him. If you're not coming up here for somebody, if you know somebody God is putting in your heart to pray for freedom in the life of that person, I just want you to respond and do the same. And pray for them. Power of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you. And I thank you for your children that have responded to you this morning, God. And I pray for all of us that you will help us present every member of our body, God, as a living sacrifice, as an act of worship to you, Jesus. That Christ will be seen in us in all aspects of our life. May you strengthen the weak today, Jesus. May you heal the brokenhearted. And may your power come upon those who desire it to live lives that are glorifying to you. And I thank you, Father. May your word bear fruit, not just in this church, but in your church, because you're building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Help us to be the light of the world. A city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. That we would draw men to yourself. Father, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful Sunday.